I'll come right in.
Rock flag and eagle.
All right, welcome everybody back to another edition of Chairgating. I'm your host, Rattlesnake, coming at you live from Austin, Texas. This is your NASCAR podcast for Belly Up Sports. And this week I have one of the best Belly Up contributors?
What do you think? I would agree with that, yeah.
Okay, we got Zach. He's been around for a while over here at Belly Up Sports. And he is our hockey guy. He is the host of, or I guess I should say co-host, right?
Yes.
Of Puck Puck Pass. Do you want to give a shout out to your podcast?
Yeah, sure. So Puck Puck Pass, we started at the beginning of last NHL season. It's with KJ. He's my co-host. We do it every week. We took the off season off this summer, which I know is kind of the hotspot for racing. But yeah, we've been off a little bit, but we're starting back up. We did one last week. We got another one today.
Awesome. Yeah, and I'm going to be coming on your podcast at some point.
Yep.
So you can educate me a little bit on hockey, because I need to know before I come on to your podcast. So I don't just sound like a jabroni.
Is that like I'm going to sound on this term? One, right?
Yeah. Yeah, jabroni. That's like a hockey term.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah, so this episode is going to be a short episode because there was no race last weekend. So we don't have much racing to talk about, but instead, I just wanted Zach on here, one, to, you know, promo his podcast, and he can educate me a little bit on hockey, and I'm going to convert him to become a NASCAR fan by the end of this podcast. So we have about a little less than an hour left before your show starts, so it's going to be, it's going to have to be quick for me to completely convert you NASCAR. So let's
see. We've done one of these kind of things before. Do you remember? I was on here almost a year ago and we argued Big Ten SEC.
Yeah, absolutely. I remember that because we were talking college football. and I want to get on to. We don't really have a college football podcast for Belly Up Sports anymore.
No, you're right. We don't. No.
Yeah, because I was talking to Mike about that and I was like, hey, what's our college football podcast? Because I want to get on there. And just, you know, talk shit about the Pac and the Big Ten, like I always do. And he was like, we don't really have one. We just have, like, football podcast. And I was like, man, that's a shame.
Yeah, that is a shame.
I'm not much of an NFL guy. You know, I watch NFL. I play fantasy here and there, whatever, like everybody else. But, you know, you're located in the South now. Like, in the South, we just care more about college football than NFL.
Yeah, it's very apparent to me at this point.
Yeah. Even our smaller schools, we care more about than our NFL teams. So, yeah, I'm looking for an outlet to talk college football with somebody. So maybe we might have to dedicate an episode of my show or something to college football.
Yeah, we'll have to open those doors somehow.
Exactly. So, let's start it out. Why? I need to convert you to become a NASCAR fan. How am I going to do this? What's standing in the way of you watching NASCAR?
I think for a while it was I never really had a grasp of the season. And and maybe you can educate me a little bit on this, but there's within NASCAR, there's a lot of divisions, right? There's like truck racing or,
yes.
I don't know.
Yeah. So there's like different leagues. So there's the Cup Series, which is what you watch on Sundays. That's it's kind of like almost like baseball in a way. Well, hockey has minor leagues. It's kind of like that, you know? So there's the Cup Series on Sundays, and that is the Premier Series. That's, you know, when it comes to stock car racing, that's the top level. I mean, really, when it comes to any kind of auto racing, that's, you know, comparable to F1 or Indy.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have the Xfinity Series, which is on Saturdays, usually. And those are the guys that are racing similar cars, slightly different. To you, they would look the exact same, but they are slightly different. They're not quite as fast, and they're the up-and-comers. So that's almost like the AAA, if we're talking baseball.
Okay, so drivers aren't crisscrossing between these. In the same season.
Some of them do, but not full-time in both.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying? So sure. You can go up and down, kind of like baseball, right?
Okay.
You can get pulled up and then get sent back down, and then pulled up again and sent back down. But, you know, the top drivers. So, you know, the top drivers for the Xfinity series, they'll get pulled up a couple races just to see how they're performing. Because essentially what they want to do is make it to the Cup Series.
Okay.
That's their intention. And then on Fridays, you have the Truck Series. And that's lower than the Xfinity. And I'm sure some NASCAR fans would argue, like, oh, well, they're harder to drive, yada, yada, yada. But, yeah, the trucks are technically beneath the Xfinity.
So are majority of drivers going through that process of Truck, then Xfinity, and then Cup Series?
Yes.
Or is it? Okay.
That's usually how it works. And when you're in Trucks and Xfinity, you can, you know, go up and down quite frequently. Mm-hmm. Whereas Cup Series, you know, the full-time drivers are usually kind of stationary there. Because it all comes down to, like, sponsorships and what guy can bring in sponsorship money, unfortunately. So that is kind of, you know, a bit of contention there for NASCAR fans. Because the whole thing now, and I went into this in my last episode, was how it's more important now about drivers that can bring in sponsorship dollars rather than just the best driver available.
Okay.
So it is a little unfortunate, but that's kind of how it works. And there's a lot of other series, even outside of that. You know, there's K&N, which is a popular series for younger drivers that haven't quite gone into trucks. And then there's also ARCA, which is what I've been interviewing a lot of drivers from. And yeah, so there's a lot of series. And then even before that, you're doing like late model dirt tracks, stuff like that. So there's a lot to comprehend.
So when you talk about drivers going up and down, whether it's Truck to Xfinity or Xfinity to Cup, is that like a team manager decision? Who decides when you go up and down?
Yeah. So that's going to be the teams. Usually it can change a little bit, but you know, let's say here's a good way to look at it, right? Okay, so my favorite team is RCR, Richard Childress Racing. They have Austin Dillon in the number 3 full time, and Daniel Hemric, who's a rookie this year, in the number 8 car full time.
Okay.
And those are the only two cars that they drive full time. They also have a couple other cars, in particular the 31 and the 29, but mostly the 31. And they have a driver named Tyler Reddick, who is in the Xfinity series full-time. And he's a very good Xfinity driver. He's always competing for the championship there. He's become very popular lately.
Okay.
And so now there's talks of, you know, it's his time to come up to the Cup Series. And what are they going to do? How are they going to get him into a Cup car full-time? There's rumors of maybe RCR will add a third full-time ride, like the 31, instead of just a part-time car. Or he might have to go to a completely different team. If another team has an opening, he would be one of the top drivers that they would look to fill that spot.
Okay,
and
so
then you're a rookie in that series.
Okay. So that brings me to my next point on what kind of hindered me from racing, and I guess I got a couple points or a couple questions to ask within it. But it's you've mentioned teams quite a bit. It as far as watching a race, I feel like it was tough for me to figure out who was on whose team. Is that something that comes with like just doing your homework, or how do you? Because cars are just littered with advertisements.
Yes. I mean. Yeah, that's the whole name of the game in NASCAR, is just ad revenue. But, teams honestly don't matter much. Because the drivers will be competing against each other. There's, you know, some slight things like, you know, so it really comes down to, like, there's a team owner, right?
Uh-huh.
Like, there's Hendrick, there's Joe Gibbs Racing, you know, those are some of the bigger ones. And there's a team owner, and he'll own a certain amount of numbers or charters, as we call them.
Okay.
And, you know, some of these teams, like the top level teams will have like three or four charters that they're running full time or numbers.
Nice. That was my next question. Nice.
Yeah. Okay. So they'll run, you know, usually three or four for the top premier teams full time. And those are the guys that, you know, you'll recognize their names. They're the top drivers because they're driving for the top teams and the top number. So they're getting the top, you know, dollar for ads. So, do you know any, like, NASCAR drivers' names, or?
I know, like, just, like, you know, the mainstream, like, Keselowski.
Yep. Okay, so you know Brad Keselowski. Uh-huh. Do you know Joey Logano?
Yep. Harvick, there's a Harvick, right?
Yeah, Kevin Harvick.
Yep.
Okay, so, like, for instance, Joey Logano and Brad Keselowski are teammates.
Okay.
Right? But, you know, if it comes down to one or the other getting the win, they're going to race each other just as hard because, you know, they're teammates, yeah, but it's an individual sport, you know? So
Okay. They
want to get the win. Now, the difference is they're not going to race each other quite as hard because the owner who spent all his money to get them that car will be pissed. They wreck one of their other teammates' cars.
Yeah, okay.
Not to mention you're working with that teammate. So it's going to be a little awkward if you kind of, you know, wreck them or something. So they're going to drive harder against guys on other teams because they don't really care about them. So, yeah, it's, I don't know. Another good way to look at it is, like, wrestling. I doubt you wrestled in high school. But
no, I didn't. My roommate wrestled, though, so I know a little bit about wrestling.
Okay, so, like, I wrestled in high school, and it's an individual sport, but you have team tournaments, right?
So, yep, okay.
Like, you know, I want my team to do well, so we'll gain points and we look better. But at the end of the day, I could care less what my team does as long as I'm winning.
Yeah, okay. So,
it's an individual sport with teams.
Yeah, I guess I would closely relate it to swimming in the Olympics.
Yeah. I don't know much about swimming, so it's hard to talk about that because I know nothing about swimming. But yeah, it's one of those individual sports where you're technically part of a team. So you want your team to do well. And then beyond that, it gets very complicated when we talk about the manufacturers because there's Chevy, Ford, and Toyota. And, you know, Hendrick is a team. They have... You probably know Jimmy Johnson. You might have heard of, like, Chase Elliott. They're one of the bigger teams, and they drive Chevys. Well, RCR, the team I like, they also drive Chevys. So they're not teammates, and they'll race each other hard, but it looks better if Chevys are winning.
In what way? How does that factor into...
So you want your manufacturer to be the one winning because the manufacturers are supporting your team. So
is there a payoff if your manufacturer is winning? Or what's I guess if Chevys are winning, what do drivers who are driving Chevys have to gain from that?
So
other than confidence of driving a Chevy, I guess.
Right. I guess that's it because I don't think there's much payoff. But yeah, just the fact that Chevy's happy that they're winning. And that means they'll probably put more money into perfecting the Chevys, and you have a better chance of winning if you're in a Chevy, which is ironic because right now, the past couple of years, Chevy hasn't been doing well. But, so it's like even more, like you really don't care if it's if Austin Dillon and Chase Elliott are driving against each other for the win, they'll race each other just as hard, like they could care less. But... it's kind of a win-win for the Chevy teams because they're like, well, look how good Chevy did this weekend.
Yeah.
You know, they had two guys racing for the win there.
Yeah, so I could see that if you're like, I mean, especially the statement you just said, Chevys haven't been winning lately. The first thing that pops into my mind is I don't want to drive a Chevy.
Exactly. Yeah, and the only reason that those manufacturers are there to begin with is to sell more cars.
Yeah, right.
So if Chevys aren't winning, Chevy's not happy.
Okay, so I got a third one, and this one might be a little bit tougher for you. I don't know, but it's the whole strategy, because I'm assuming that there is a strategy that goes into it, but it's so hard for me to see beyond the racing and laps, and whoever's in first at the last lap wins. Mm-hmm. There's got to be some strategy behind it, and I have no idea what it is or how to even start to grasp it.
The strategy of what?
Of just winning a race, of looking at how many laps they got ahead of them. I don't know. It's probably in the 200, 300 range. Right. And saying, how am I the front car at the last lap, and what lap 140, whatever, has to do with that at the end? Because you see, I see cars that are like, I'll flip on a race, and I'll see a car that's in like, 28th place or something like that, and okay. Versus the car in third place. What's the difference? Is it speed of car? Is it driver skill? Is it pit crew strategy?
Yeah, it's literally a combination of all those things, and unfortunately, a lot of it now has to do with money. Like I was talking about earlier, just being able to afford the better equipment. That's mostly it. Is what car you're driving, because certain cars are faster than others, just because they put more money into it, and they perfected it. Also, obviously, it has a lot to do with the driver, because, you know, there can be a driver that performs really well in equipment that's not as good as another car, but he's a better driver. And, yes, also the pit crew has a lot to do with it as well. But okay. When it comes in terms of, like, strategy of how you're winning, that changes depending on the track a lot of times, because okay. I guess what a lot of people don't understand is there's a lot of variation in the tracks in NASCAR. Everyone's just like, oh, it's just a circle, and they're turning left all the time. Well, you know, we have super speedways. We have two of those, Daytona and Talladega, and all that means is it's over 2 miles long per lap. And so that one has a totally different strategy from the intermediate tracks, which are, you know, a mile and a half long usually. That's like Texas and some of the other ones. Totally different strategy. And then we have, you know, short tracks, which are like under a mile. And those are really tight and really, you can't get up to high speeds because it's under a mile per lap, but you're being really aggressive. You're really bumping into each other. So it all depends on the track. And then also we have road courses. So we do, NASCAR does turn right, although people are unaware of it for some reason. NASCAR does occasionally turn right. When it comes to strategy, it's all about what track you're on, so how you're going to ride what line. You know, if you're going to take the high line on the turns or the low line, depending on what you like and what your car is set up for. And also, fuel has a lot to do with it. Like, when you're going to pit to refuel.
Okay. Yeah.
Does that make sense?
That was the biggest thing that I thought was a strategy was, you know, because if I turn on a race, I see some people refueling on a lap, and some not.
Right. Yeah, that's a big part of the strategy. That's like the main thing when it comes to strategy is fuel strategy. It's knowing how far you're going to make it. Because if you're low on fuel, you can complete the laps, but you're not going to be able to go as hard. Right? Because if you're taking the turns harder and you know, you're accelerating, it's going to take up more fuel. So, you know, let's say like you're like, well, we got to make it 10 more laps because we know these guys are probably going to pit on this lap, and we want to pit with them, but we're low on fuel, so you can't really go hard these next 10 laps. You're just going to kind of have to cruise a little bit. Whereas you're like, hey, they're low on fuel, and they're not going to be pitting for a while, and we're good on fuel. You should go real hard and get past them while we have the opportunity.
How secret is it? Because I know that pits are like right next, you see cars pulling into each other right next to each other in the pit stop. Or can like pit crews hear each other, or is it like?
Yeah, that's what they try to do. They try to find out when the other team is gonna pit and based off that. And occasionally there's been instances of like pit crews like trying to trick other ones.
Yeah, to be I could imagine.
Oh, we think this guy's going to pit on this lap, so let's base our strategy off that. But then they'll even, like, kind of go take the low lane to even look like they're going to pit, but then just, like, keep going and just, like, fuck everybody up.
I love that.
Yeah, so it's a lot of that, where that's when it gets exciting, when it's towards the end of the race. And it depends on the track. Different tracks take different fuel strategy. But certain tracks are really exciting because you're like, okay, there's only, you know, so many more laps left, and everyone eventually is going to have to pit. When are they going to pit? You know, like, and that's a big part of it.
Okay. Yeah, the whole pitting thing I knew was a strategy, but I never understood it. But, and I like the fact that pit, I feel like once I get into racing, I'm going to latch onto the pit crews that are trying to fuck everybody else. Oh,
yeah. So, yeah. And that's the thing too, is, you know, everybody just thinks, oh, I'm new to NASCAR, I should just watch Daytona or something like that. And Daytona and Talladega are so much fun, but and they're entertaining because, you know, they're going really fast and there's probably going to be a lot of wrecks and stuff like that's fun to watch for sure. The main thing that's fun about those though is actually attending the race, because those are like the party tracks. So that's like where you fall in love with NASCAR, is when you go to one of those races. But in all honesty, you know, most NASCAR fans will agree, the most entertaining races are like tracks like Bristol, you know, tracks that are like less than a mile long, like the short tracks. They're really entertaining. And just because those guys are bumping into each other, you know, they're really aggressive because they're not going as fast. So it's not as dangerous, you know.
Yeah.
When you're going, you know, top speeds at super speedways, they don't want to have any kind of contact because they can wreck. In Bristol, they'll be pushing each other out of the way, no problem, and not feel bad about it at all. And those usually come down to the last couple laps and fuel strategy. How aggressive is this guy going to be coming into the last lap? Like, those are really entertaining. Yeah, it's just, I feel like when people that don't watch NASCAR turn it on, they're like, well, I don't really know what's going on. I just see these cars doing circles. Like, uh-huh. That's not entertaining. And it's not entertaining until you realize that there's strategy behind everything they're doing.
Right.
And you can start noticing the strategy, you know.
So, with the strategy, there's obviously a level of etiquette, because I've seen these drivers getting out of the car fighting each other.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's been, you just mentioned cars are bumping each other, and I'm assuming if they go into a track like Bristol, like you mentioned, that they know that that's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
At what point does it cross the line? Like, why are these fights breaking out?
So to put it in the most simple terms, is it crosses the line because every driver is willing to do it to another driver but doesn't want it done to them, and they're all babies. That's essentially the best way I can put it. I think they're all bitches when it comes to this, because they're like, oh, he was just no reason. He should have, you know, turned me and coming into turn three. It was way too aggressive. But then next week you'll see them do the same thing to somebody else. So you're like, shut up. Like, I don't have sympathy for any of them. But like, a good rule of thumb is just like, you know, was that aggression necessary? First, was it intended? Like, did they mean to do it, or did they just get loose themselves? Stuff like that. Because they always try to blame the other person, no matter what happened. But, yeah, was it intentional? Usually, it's not intentional. Usually, you know, one of two things. It's like, they got loose themselves and just lost control of their car for a second, and they couldn't help it. Usually, in those situations, one will apologize, or he'll just say, like, well, that's racing, deal with it, sorry, like, you know, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Or two, it's not like they intentionally were trying to take them out, but at the same time they were like, well, I'm not gonna change my lane, you know, I got this line down low and they were in my way, and I'm not gonna,
yeah,
you know, change what I'm doing just so they don't wreck.
Right.
And then three is there's actually intentional contact where they really did go out of their way just to wreck them. And in those situations, NASCAR will penalize the person, because you're not supposed to intentionally wreck somebody. But that's kind of hard to prove, you know.
Right.
Only certain drivers have been caught doing that, like Kyle Busch, or Tony Stewart back in the day used to do that kind of stuff. Dale Earnhardt used to do it. Most of the time, it's the stubbornness of, like, I'm not going to – I got this line. I'm not moving. They came down into my line. The other driver's like, I was just driving, and, you know, they didn't lay off when they should have, knowing that we're both going to wreck.
That's like usually, he said, she said kind of thing.
Yeah, that's usually what happens. And, I would say that's most of the time what happens. And then the biggest thing is just, was the contact necessary? Was it early in the race? If it was early in the race, probably not necessary. You probably could have laid off a little bit and let him get the pass or something like that. If it's late in the race and it's Bristol, you know, whatever happens, happens. Like, you know, a good example, I'm trying to think exactly what happened, but, let's see, Daytona, last year, the Daytona 500, Austin Dillon won, who happens to be my favorite driver, but, who was he racing against? Man, I'm trying to think, who was it? It wasn't Daniel Suarez, was it? Anyway, there was another driver that was winning the race. He was in the lead, and Austin was in second. And it's the last lap of the Daytona 500, which, you know, is people will title, like, the Super Bowl of NASCAR, stuff like that.
Okay.
It's the first race of the season. There's a lot of hype behind it, a lot of money. It gets the most viewership just because it's the first race of the season, so everybody's really excited. So if you get the opportunity to win that race, you're going to do what you got to do to win it. That's a big deal. You know, winning the Daytona 500 is like something, you know, you put on your resume. Like,
right.
You know, Daytona 500 winner. So he's in second. They're coming into the last – they're on the last lap, coming around like the last turn, I believe, or maybe it was turn three. And the guy in the lead comes down to make a late block, right? And Austin Dillon doesn't change his line at all. So when he's coming down to make that late block, Austin's not moving. So he inevitably hits the back of the lead car, you know, on the back side, and turns him on the very last lap before they're about to cross the finish line. So Austin Dillon wins. And the NASCAR world was a little bit split on this because a lot of people were like, you know, he shouldn't have spun him. You know, that was unnecessary. He didn't have to hit him. Whereas Austin was like, look, I'm not changing my line. If he's going to come down for a late block, I'm not moving. This is the last lap of the Daytona 500.
Right, yeah.
So,
it's hard to fault him for that.
Right. Really what it comes down to is NASCAR more than anything else, probably next to, like, professional wrestling, people hate or love a driver. And that's usually how they determine if they think something was fair.
Okay.
Like Kyle Busch, everybody hates Kyle Busch. You know, he's the most hated driver, but he's also probably the most popular. He's got a huge fan base. But anybody else that's not his fan hates him. So when he does something, that's how it's judged. It's just like, do you like Kyle Busch? Yes or no? And that's how you're going to react to this.
Okay.
Yeah, it's more of just like, it's a lot like professional wrestling. In the sense that these guys are like characters and you follow them and they have different personalities and they dress different. And, you know, you like guys for certain reasons and don't like guys for other reasons.
Okay. Yeah. So, my last thing that I have, cause I'm really trying to get into racing. I talked to you a little bit about this off the air. But a big comparison or similarity that I found between hockey and racing is that, at least for the casual fan, if a superstar hockey player and or racer bursts onto the scene, you don't really see their come up. I mean, you talked a little bit about Chuck to Xfinity to Cup. And with hockey, it's like a lot of guys more are going the college route nowadays. But even then, college hockey is not watched. And they go to juniors and or maybe they go to a Canadian league for a year and then they burst onto the scene in the NHL. So for racing, if I want to find a young diamond in the rough, so to speak, Am I watching the truck series, or is there a series before that? Where do I go to find up and comer?
I mean, yeah, trucks, Xfinity. Like right now, really, you can just pick one of the young guys in the Cup Series, even, because there's so many drivers, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, you can just pick a young guy in the series. Unfortunately, nowadays, it's all about who you're driving for, because there could be, and I talked about this in my last episode, there can be a great, promising young driver, but if he's driving for a shit team, he's never going to do anything.
Okay.
So it's really unfortunate right now. It's like a time where there are these good young drivers coming up, but they're getting put into equipment that's like shit.
And sure.
The older guys are, you know, have the best equipment.
And okay.
I'm not saying that they're not the best. You know, they are. They're clearly the proven mm-hmm. vets. But yeah, it's hard because you could, you know, you could be like I'll go back to Tyler Reddick, who's just a beast right now in the Xfinity. You could be a huge Tyler Reddick fan and be like, man, I can't wait till he hits the Cup Series. I'm going to, you know, go all out with whatever number he gets into. Let's say he's driving the 31. I'm buying 31 gear. You know, that's my driver now. That's great, but if 31, if the car sucks and the team sucks, like, have fun. Like, that's going to suck cheering for him because he's never going to get a win. So that's pretty tough right now. It's kind of tough right now to, like, pick a new young up-and-comer. Like, a good, safe bet, if you're interested in, like, picking a driver, you know, really, if you're interested in a young driver, I would say the safest bets for young drivers right now would be Chase Elliott, number 9. That's the safest pick, because he's probably the best young driver right now. Okay. He's proven himself. He's a great young driver. But part of the thing with picking your driver is it's not all performance-based. A lot of it is what personality you like. And that's what I was saying. It's kind of like wrestling. You can't just pick a driver based on driving. I mean, honestly, you got to, like, listen to their interviews and stuff like that and, like,
okay.
be like, I like this guy's persona. Like, I really like Ryan Blaney. He's another young driver who's really good. He's on a good team, driving a good car, and he's promising. And I like his personality. You know, he'll grow out like a handlebar mustache and rock a mullet. Like, he's a cool guy. His dad was a NASCAR driver. Just a very cool dude. But, you know, you might not have any kind of affiliation. I like Chevys, and he drives a Ford. So I can't ever be, like, full Ryan Blaney because he's in a Ford.
Okay.
But if you don't have any kind of affiliation like that, you know, I would say look at their personalities. But, yeah, Chase Elliott, Ryan Blaney are good ones. Alex Bowman's another good young driver. You know, those are good young drivers to root for.
Okay. Is racing a thing that you have to, like, you have to get into at a young age in order to reach an elite status? Or are guys bursting onto the scene at a later age and still, you know, producing?
Nowadays, it's you got to start when you're young.
Okay. Like, I figured.
Dale Earnhardt, you know, that era, back in the day, those guys would work jobs and then race on the weekends.
Oh, okay.
You know, they were like coal miners and farmers and stuff. Sure. Like, so, yeah, it was a little bit different then. They would come into the sport in, like, their, you know, 20s and 30s just because they would race their local tracks and they're really good and, you know, whatever. Nowadays, I mean, you got to start before you can get your driver's license. These kids are starting at, like, you know, 13, 12 years old. And that's it all started with Jeff Gordon. He was the first, like, young prodigy that did it when he was a kid and grew up doing it. And that's why, if you want to get into NASCAR, too, one thing I'd recommend is watching this documentary called Unrivaled. It was kind of like, it was put on by Fox Sports, and it was like their version of like a 30 for 30.
Okay.
And it talks about the rivalry of Dale Earnhardt and Jeff Gordon, and it is incredible. It's so good. It's one of the best sports rivalries of all time, honestly. Like, those two had a great rivalry. I'd watch that. That gives you a good understanding of the NASCAR community and culture.
Yeah, definitely. I wrote that down. I'll definitely watch that.
Okay, good. All right, so before we go, because I know you can't stay for too much longer, I'm going to be coming on your podcast at some point.
Yep, soon.
Puck Pass. Everybody go follow it on Twitter. convince me to be a hockey fan. Here's my thing.
Okay.
Let me start it up. I've gone to, you know, multiple hockey games. Do you call them games or matches? I don't fucking know.
Games. Yeah, they're games.
Okay, hockey games. And it's fun. The atmosphere is fun. The people that like hockey are fun. You know, I feel like hockey players and NASCAR fans could get along because everybody's kind of white trash. And, you know, can rock a mullet and wear denim. Great. My thing is, it's too fast paced. I can't keep up. I don't know where the puck is half the time.
Yeah, so that's definitely the biggest thing on why hockey is the least popular of the four major sports, as they say. It's extremely difficult for, because it's not like football, you know, where you play 10 seconds and then you take 40 seconds to analyze it. I resonate with you on following the puck, because that's definitely the toughest thing for someone to do.
It's like basketball on steroids.
Yeah. Once you can follow the puck, it's really, it can be dumbed down to, there's two rules. It's offsides and icing. And due to time, I won't go into what those mean. But everything else is pretty much a penalty. Those are the only things that are going to stop the play other than the puck going out of bounds.
And but, half the penalties I don't even understand.
Yeah. So it's really just understanding, you know, it's all positional based. And it takes a little bit to get used to it. And you kind of got to. You can't just, like, watch a game every, you know, month and get it. You kind of got to watch, sit down, and if you watch, I mean, it doesn't take long. If you sit down and watch a game every day for 2 weeks, you'll probably get the hang of it. And I think you're right. I think NASCAR fans and hockey fans could get along. I had this question. When's the NASCAR season? When does it start and when does it end?
Because
it's mostly in the summer,
it's
right?
February it starts.
Yeah. Okay. That's what I thought.
Let me get the exact dates before I say something stupid. that's the truck series. Let's go to the monster.
But my main point there while you're looking at that.
February 10th was the Daytona 500 this year. And then the end of the season.
Wow, they play that early?
Yeah. It's insane. There's only like 3 months off. And then the end of the season, which is in Miami, is November.
God, that's an insane season.
Yeah, I mean, it's like every weekend. That's the great thing about NASCAR. You have something to watch. Whenever somebody's like, man, this is a terrible weekend for sports, I'm like, there's NASCAR. And they're like, nah. And I'm like, all right, man.
Yeah, so that's, I mean, hockey runs October to April. So, I mean, there's a little bit of carryover between the sports, but I feel like for the most part.
Yeah, it's NASCAR. You know, there's going to be carryover for every sport.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, we touch into everything.
But and that's the main reason I wanted to get into it, is because the heart of the NASCAR schedule, I feel like, is in the off season of other than the, you know, what's the championship in racing? It's like the Cup Series or what's the?
So
it's all based on points, right?
Yeah. So there's a playoff, and it's rounds of playoffs.
Oh, okay.
So it starts with 16. And then goes down to, man, my NASCAR fans are going to be pissed that I'm fucking this up. But it starts with 16 and then goes down, cuts in half, down to 8. And then is it?
So is it really, there's only
right
like,
after that?
There's only like 8 cars on the track? Is that?
No. They're all still driving, but it's just like, you know, the ones that
are in the
playoffs in contention.
Okay.
And at that point, it's all points. So even if they don't win, as long as they're getting more points than the next guy. So it's down to points, and then like the round of four, you know, that's like the championship. That's what they call the round of four, and then it's when it's the last four drivers on the last race, and whoever wins that or gets the most points out of those four guys wins the championship.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I knew there was like a point/standings type thing to it. I never knew how it finished out though.
Yeah, the playoffs. Wait, aren't they? They're about to start. It's not in Darlington. I think next year it starts in Darlington. Now,
where's Darlington?
South Carolina. That's the race I'm about to go to. Yeah. Oh, it is this weekend. That's why there was the off. Yeah. Okay. So this is the beginning of the playoffs.
Oh. Okay. Where can I find? Is there like a special network that NASCAR is usually carried on, or?
Right now it is. What is it? The what is it, CBSSB or whatever. Shit, what's that network called?
It's like it's not like CBS Sports, is it?
Yeah, that's what it is, right?
CBS. Okay. Yeah, I don't know what it's like.
Or NBC Sports, so it's like NBCS.
Oh, yeah, NBCSN. Yeah.
SN, yeah. Sorry.
That's perfect. That's where hockey is carried on in the playoffs.
Okay, because the NASCAR season's split in half. The first half is Fox Sports, and the second half is the NBC Sports.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it's split in half, but now we're on to the NBC.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, I mean, I'm convinced. I want to get into it. I'm going to look into this. You said you're going to be at the race, right?
Yeah. This weekend, I'm going to be in Darlington, and I have full access. Hold on. Let me pull up my schedule for the race. I even got a little...
you have, like, media access?
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, I got a whole schedule for Darlington. I'm doing a tour of the number 3 hauler, which I've already done the tour for. And then I'm getting to hang out with Austin Dillon in the hauler.
That's awesome. Then
they're taking me over to the driver's pre-race meeting at 4:00. And that's only for the drivers and I think very limited media. So I'm like one of the few people that's going to have access to the driver's meeting. And then I'm going to do a photo shoot with Austin Dillon and the number 3 car. And then I'm going to get to watch the race, from my understanding. I'm going to at least get to watch some of it up next to his like crew chief and like Richard Childress up in the top.
Nice. Have you done that before?
No. That's...
Wow.
Yeah. I don't know how many people have done that. I mean, that's a pretty... That's a pretty significant thing to get to do. So I'm going to have crazy access to this race. It's going to be, I don't know, it's going to be overwhelming. I'm going to try to keep up and try to plan out questions and what I'm going to be doing, but I don't know. I think I'm going to be a little overwhelmed.
Yeah, it sounds like a blast, though.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. And my whole thing is I'd like to get into hockey, but I need a team to root for, and I am really big on... I don't like to root for teams that I'm not from the area of.
Okay.
That's just one of my pet peeves of when people do that. You know, people at my work will have like jerseys of like random cities and I'm like, "Oh, cool. You know, you're a Falcons fan? Like, cool. You're from Atlanta?" "Oh, no, I'm from Maryland." I'm like, "Well, what the fuck are you doing?" And then I'll see them the next day with like a Mariners jersey. And I'm like, and they're like, "Yeah, no, I'm also a Seattle fan." Like, I hate that. That's like one of my biggest pet peeves of anything when it comes to sports. That drives me insane. So I'm not just going to cheer for any hockey team. Like, I'm very particular. And I'll never cheer for Dallas because I'll never cheer for anything Dallas.
Oh, that's the thing. I put my Dallas Stars hat on for this podcast.
I hate Dallas. No.
Okay. Okay.
You made a mistake. Dallas.
Yeah, my next suggestion is going to be that they got the Winter Classic in Dallas. It's Dallas and Nashville this year. Down in I took that week off. I'm gonna try and make it down there for that.
Well, let me know. Maybe I'll go watch and cheer for Nashville. just because I hate Dallas. Anytime Dallas plays anybody, and I'll meet people from Dallas, and they're like, "You know what? I like the Texans or the Rockets." Like when they're playing somebody else, I'm like, "Really? I cheer for anyone playing Dallas."
Is that like an Austin versus Dallas type thing, or?
Well, it's like a Texas versus Dallas thing. Everybody hates Dallas because they're cocky and they think they're fucking the shit. But especially Houston, because Houston teams always kind of get overshadowed by Dallas for some reason. Houston's the bigger city. We're better at everything. Anyway.
Yeah, I relate to that because Memphis gets overshadowed by Nashville quite a bit.
Oh, big time. Yeah, it's bullshit.
Yeah.
I mean, the Oilers were, when they left Houston, which was fucked up, they were in Memphis for like a season before they went to Nashville. So, yeah. Yeah, I hate anything Dallas. I'm not going to cheer for the Stars ever. And, like, I was born in North Carolina, and I have family, a lot of family in Raleigh. So I went to a Hurricanes game last year, had a lot of fun. So if I was going to cheer for any team, it'd be the Canes. But, like, I just don't care enough to get into it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and the Canes aren't good, so it's tough.
Well, they were good last year.
Yeah, yeah, they made a run last year. I was actually thinking about moving to Raleigh, so
It's a really fun city.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really like Raleigh. I would definitely consider moving to Raleigh. Like I said, I was born in Raleigh, so.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, most of my family's from there. Yeah, that's like almost all my grandparents live there. Almost all of my aunts and uncles live there. Yeah, that's like where my family's from. Okay. So, I like the Canes, but until Houston gets a hockey team, that's what it's going to take for me to really get fully into it.
I wish they would.
If Houston got, like, the Coyotes...
you might be onto something there. We might have to pitch that.
Oh, dude, I've written articles about this. I'm a big... yeah, I'm a big believer in this. I don't keep up much with hockey, but I keep up with, you know, Arizona relocating to Houston. Because we got a new owner of the Rockets. He wants the NHL there. He's been in talks with the NHL.
Okay.
There's like a whole thing of like how Houston's the next city to get a team. Because now that Seattle's getting one, they're saying like Houston's next in line. Because Seattle has been waiting.
Yeah.
You know.
I wouldn't be surprised if Ottawa moves down there. They're trying to sell that
as well. Yeah. Yeah. Also, you know what would be the coolest though is Edmonton.
Mm.
Because well, then Houston would have the Oilers.
Yeah, you're right. Dude, you're right.
That would be insane. You know how much shit the city would lose their shit. They would be like, we have the Oilers, like selling out every single game.
Yeah, there would be so much throwback merchandise that people are throwing
my God.
On.
Yes, it would be so much throwback. It would be insane. Yeah. So if Houston can get a team, I'll get fully invested in hockey.
Okay.
That's what it's gonna take for me.
I'm sold on NASCAR at this point.
Okay.
I'm gonna watch this race. You're gonna be in the. I don't know if you'll be on TV, but
maybe if Austin does well and I'm.
It sounds like you might. Yeah. Chief,
I could be on TV. I'm trying to rock my mullet. I got my mustache because it's the throwback race. That's the best part about Darlington is all the drivers are have the throwback paint schemes.
Okay.
And
okay.
So a lot of the people will wear like throwback stuff from like the 80s and 90s and stuff. So.
Wow, there's just so much about this race to get excited about.
That's what I'm saying. It's one of the best races of the year.
I'm excited.
So, watch the race. Maybe you'll see me on TV.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be coming on Puck Puck Pass soon. By the way, you're about to be recording that episode. Where can people find that?
Yeah, so we're on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and as always, Belly Up Sports. Webpage, you can find us there. So
yes. How do people find you on Twitter?
Twitter's gonna be at Puck Puck Pass Pod. Instagram is gonna be just Puck Puck Pass.
Okay. So. Okay. And if anybody follows Puck Puck Pass on Twitter.
Yep.
And follows Chair Gaten on Twitter and they DM me. I will personally buy them either a hockey or racing shirt.
I will go half and half on that with you.
Okay, and then we'll see who we get more of.
Okay.
Racing or hockey, and that's how we'll determine who won this podcast.
Okay, and then we'll have to get you on Puck Puck Pass to further convince you to watch some hockey.
Yeah, exactly. And then, you know, who's the commissioner of the NHL?
Gary Bettman. He's widely booed across the league, but that is the commissioner.
See if you can get him on with me. And I'll convince him of why Houston needs a team.
Okay, I'll get to work on that right away.
Yeah, just make some calls. I mean, it's hockey. I figured y'all are all tight with each other. So
yeah. I got people. He's got people. We can make it work.
Right. Okay. Cool. All right. Well, thanks for coming on. I'm glad to get another NASCAR fan. Everybody, go check out Puck Puck Pass. I'm not a hockey fan, and I'm gonna go listen to it. So if I we gotta convert hockey and NASCAR.
Yeah, we'll combine them. We'll start this movement right now.
That's what I'm saying. We've been pushed around for too long by baseball, basketball, and football. You know?
Amen.
Let's just combine it. We could do like hockey games in the middle of a race, a NASCAR race, in the infield, and just combine them together as one sport.
Oh my gosh.
All right, man.
The next level.
Thanks for coming on.
Hey, I appreciate it.
All right, later.
See ya.
Why do you have to hate what you don't understand?